In the book of 1 Corinthians, I was reading this morning, and this just really struck me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is one of Paul's letters, and this is his letter to the church at Corinth. And in chapter 15, he starts off by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received it, and in which you stand." So Paul's saying, listen, I'm sending you this letter, and I'm sharing with you the truth that Jesus has laid on my heart to share with you. And I'm declaring to you the gospel, and this is the gospel that I preached to you before, and which you've already received. So he's saying, this is a letter to the church at Corinth, right? So this is the church. This is people who have already accepted the gospel, who have already accepted the truth of Jesus Christ. They're already saved. This is a letter to those who are already serving Jesus Christ. And he says, I've given you the gospel. I've declared the gospel to you. I've preached the gospel to you, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to that which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he's saying, again, this is making clear, this letter is going to those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. These are believers in Jesus. He's saying, unless it was you didn't, unless you received this in vain, unless you didn't really truly believe it, then you, as you read this letter, or you, as you hear this letter read, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. And that he also was seen over by over 500 brethren all at one time, whom the greater part remained to present, but some have also fallen asleep. So Paul's just going on. He's saying, I'm sending this to you. You are believers. You have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've delivered to you already one letter. Now this is also, you know, another letter confirming the things I told you about Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again. And this was confirmed. This was confirmed multiple times. Peter, he appeared first to Peter, and then he was seen by over 500 brethren all at one time. And then he goes on to talk about James as well. What strikes me about this chapter as Paul is talking, now this is towards the end of his letter to the Corinthians, but when you read this in the Amplified Bible, it says, and now let me remind you. Let me remind you. So we read that before. It says, I'm declaring. But when you understand the nuances of the actual Greek, what Paul is saying is, I want to make this declaration to you, but I'm doing this as a reminder to you, since it seems it escaped you. This is what it says in the Amplified Bible. And now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaimed to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and upon which your faith rests. It's interesting to me that Paul is writing this letter to a church, to the church at Corinth. So this letter is being read and being read aloud to people who already know. Paul has already given them the gospel. He's already led them to that understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ. This is to a body of believers who have already accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ and understand what the work did. But he's still saying, and now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, of the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaimed to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and upon which your faith rests. Paul is saying that even though this is a body of Christ, even though this is a body of believers, he's saying, I'm writing this letter and all this contents. Now listen to what he's saying. Listen to what I'm about to tell you, because it appears that you've forgotten this. Let me remind you of the glad tidings of salvation, because it appears that you have forgotten. That is so important for us to just stop and realize. I don't know how long you've been a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, for some of you, maybe there's somebody listening who's a very new believer. Welcome. And start enjoying all of the promises of Jesus Christ. Start enjoying and continue to learn to know and understand what all the promises are and who Jesus is as he reveals himself to you in the Word. But there's others of you who are listening who have been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years or more. And here's what tends to happen. The longer that we are believers, but we still live in this world. And so we're still faced with the things of this world. And so in a fallen world, there are setbacks. In a fallen world, there are things that come against us that are directly opposed to it, the direct opposite of what the Word of God promises. All of us have gone through frustrations. All of us have maybe even suffered some defeats. And it gets easier and easier as the time goes by, too, because we still live in this world, and we see with our natural eyes the things of this world. It's more difficult to visualize with your spiritual eyes the promises of Jesus Christ and the things that are true in the spiritual realm. So as we go through our life, there's many things that come upon us that are contrary to the Word of God, and it becomes easier and easier to, little by little, begin to believe the things that we see which are contrary to the Word of God and which are contrary to the promises. And the more time passes and the more that we maybe endure disappointments or setbacks, the more we tend to believe the setbacks and the disappointments and the less we believe the Word. And this is why Paul is saying, and this is so true for us today also, and now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation which I proclaim to you. This is why it's so important for us. If I love the fact that there's I've been a believer for 30 years, and there's been continual swells. It seems like every few years there's a new swell of reading the Bible, where there's a push for people to read the Bible in a year's time. And that's a great thing. What a great thing. If you can read the Word of God in a year, that's a phenomenal thing. But sometimes I think, well, I've read the Word, so I don't really need to pay as much attention to the Word this year because I read through the Bible last year. The Bible, the Word of God, is something that we need to have. This is Jesus revealing himself to us. This is his Word, which is telling us the truths that we can't necessarily or actually see with our spiritual eyes. Now, it's true, and we will see it if we stand on the Word. These promises we will see with our eyes if we continue to stand. But just in the natural circumstances, because it is a fallen world, sometimes you're going to see and experience things that are opposed to the Word of God. And this is where it's imperative for us to remember that there is two realities. There's the spiritual reality, which is a reality, but it's not the greatest reality. The greater reality is the spiritual reality. Did I say that right? There's a physical reality, which is not the greater reality. The greatest reality is the spiritual reality, and that's what you cannot see. And the physical reality will sometimes be contrary to what the Word tells us is true in the spiritual reality. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not denying the reality of the things that you see. If right now, if you're going through a relationship problem with your spouse, okay, that's real. It'd be silly to deny that. If your body is experiencing, and the doctors have told you there is something, some kind of physical thing that you're dealing with, I'm not denying that that's not real. It is real. It is a natural reality. But what we have to understand is there is a greater reality, and that's the spiritual reality. And in the spiritual reality, all of these things are already addressed and taken care of. And if I continue to believe what the promises of the Word say, then those spiritual realm realities will then become manifested here in this natural reality, and they will displace the natural realities with the greater reality of the spiritual realm. This is why it's imperative for us, and this is why Paul is saying, and now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel of the glad tidings of salvation. Paul is saying, listen, I can see that you've forgotten some of the promises. I can see you've forgotten some of the good news. I can see that you've forgotten, you've accepted what the world is saying, as opposed to accepting what you cannot, perhaps not see at this moment, but which is still the greater truth, which is the promises of Jesus Christ. So as we're going through life and we experience disappointments and we experience setbacks, and maybe sometimes we even experience defeats, the tendency is once we experience a defeat or something that is directly opposite of what the Word promises, we just give up throw up our hands and give up and say, well, that didn't work. The Word didn't work. Look, my circumstances are showing that the Word didn't work. And then we've given ourselves over to that natural reality. We've embraced it, and it's what we are then going to live with. But instead, what we do is when there's something in your life that is contrary to the promises of the Word, when you have something and you're experiencing something which is different than what the Word promises, you continue to stand on the Word. You continue to stand and believe. And you know, sometimes it's a battle, and it's not a battle that's taking place because the enemy is so strong and he has so much power. That's not it at all. The enemy is defeated. Every lie, every bad thing that comes in your life, if there is sickness that comes in your life, it's not because God gave it to you. I don't have time to go through it all this morning, but the word makes it clear. You know, the good things come from Jesus. The good things come from our Father above. The bad things come from the enemy. That's just the way that it is. And yet I can show you by going through the verses, the scriptures, that sickness is never a good thing. It's never something that God gives us. So if there's sickness in our lives, I'm not denying that that sickness isn't real, but I'm saying there's a greater reality, which is the healing that is provided and promised to us in salvation. It's a part of salvation. It is promised to us in the Word of God. This is what Jesus has done for us. And so if I'm experiencing some kind of a sickness, and I'll tell you from firsthand, there's been times that I've faced something, a sickness, and I'll pray and I'll stand on the Word and nothing changes. And I'll pray and I'll stand on the Word and nothing changes. Is it that Satan is just so powerful and I'm locked in such a battle with Satan that it's a struggle? No, Satan's already defeated. Jesus has already defeated Satan. That's already done. The problem is in my mind. The problem is in my thoughts. I need to get my thoughts lined back up with the Word of God. I need to get my thoughts so that I'm not torn. You know, we learned in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. If I'm unstable in my certainty of the Word of God, if my tendency is today that I'm believing what I'm experiencing more, if I'm believing that is the greater truth, the ultimate final truth, if I'm yielding to that, then I'm double-minded if I'm saying, but I'm standing on the Word of God. Well, I'm double-minded. I have to believe the Word of God is true exclusively, and I have to make the things of the natural yield. I have to have my body yield itself to the Word of God. Let me ask you this. Is your body, there's three parts to who you are, spirit, soul, and body. Is your body the greatest part of who you are? If there's three components that make up the entirety of you, spirit, soul, and body, your spirit is that part of you that was dead but has been made alive in Jesus Christ. It is that part of you that is connected directly tied to, right now, in salvation, directly tied to the heavenly realms. That's your spirit. Your soul is your mind, your thoughts, your personality. It's your emotions. It's your will. So that is your spirit and your soul. The other third of who you are is this physical body that your spirit and your soul dwell in this life, your physical body. So now, which of those do you think is the greatest? Is the body the greatest part of the three parts of who you are? Well, no, of course not, because the body's part of this natural world, and this natural world that we live in is all going to be burned up. At some day, this is all going to be gone. The spiritual realities, the spiritual realm is forever. The physical is not. The physical is temporary, very temporary, fleeting. So the body is not the greatest part of who you are. And so since the body's not the greatest part, why is it that I believe what my body tells me? Now, my body, I have to stand on the Word and make my body submit to the Word. And sometimes that means I continue to stand and I continue to stand and I continue to stand. I believe the Word, I believe the Word, I believe the Word. And when you do that, what you do is you get to the place where all of a sudden you're no longer double-minded. You've got to bring yourself. I have to bring myself to the place where I'm not double-minded. I'm believing what my body says, and I'm also trying to believe the Word of God. I have to just decide, I believe the Word of God regardless of what my body says. I'm not denying the reality of what my body says, but I'm saying it has to submit. It will yield. It must submit to the Word of God and be healed and be made whole. And this is true of all parts of our life. And this is why Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you. Here's my challenge for you today. What are the promises of the Word of God that have escaped you today? Because it's not just Paul that says this. Peter also tells us in his letters, it is good that I remind you of these things as long as you live in the tents of these bodies. Peter is saying, as long as you live in this physical body, it's good to be reminded of the promises and the principles of the Word of God. Paul's saying the exact same thing. Let me remind you, because it seems to have escaped you, the glad tidings of salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ. What I leave you with today is this thought. What are the promises? What are the good things? What are the joys that you're not experiencing, that you know the Word promises, but you're not experiencing? Listen to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, let me remind you. In other words, go back to the Word. Go back to what the Word says. Believe the Word of God and believe the Word is true. Have an uncompromising belief in the Word of God. Even if the flesh tells you something different, you believe the Word of God. Paul is saying, remind yourself of those promises of Jesus Christ. We need to. Maybe something in your life has taken your focus off of the promises and has caused you to be discouraged or disheartened. Paul is saying, let me remind you, because it appears, which happens in life, it appears to have escaped you for the moment, the good news, the joys, the promises, the good things of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of those things. Well, I'm reminding you, there's promises in the Word of God, and those promises, because God is true. God is true in all things. Every promise He's made in that Word is true, if we'll receive it and believe it. Remind yourself of that today, and make sure you're spending time in the Word, reminding yourself of those good things. Let me just show that to you one more time. I close my Bible. I can look back up. All right, so Paul says, and now, let me remind you, as Paul is, I'm reminding you of the good things of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation. Remember the glad tidings and the promises, because they are yours.